Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has given to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
When I was a kid, on a Friday, my mum was a teacher, and on a Friday we would go to Sainsbury's in Lewisham, do the family shop, get a taxi back. None of my family could drive, as I still can't. And then the getting the house ready for the week would start. We were not allowed to leave our house until it was clean. Now, my mum's rule was that we couldn't go out, we couldn't invite our friends in, we could do nothing until we'd clean the house. That I was younger, my brother's 7 years older than me. He was a teenager and wanting to leave as soon as he got back from school. We lived on a little council estate in Brockley where all the kids were playing outside on a Friday afternoon and we were locked in. So we could hear the cheers of joy and laughter, people on their bikes, people playing football below our windows. And we were cleaning. My mum would always put on music. She'd put on Sega music, which is the music of the Seychelles, where she is from. She'd put on reggae. She'd put on a little bit of Fleetwood Mac as well. She was a cultured woman. And we would then argue with her for about 3 hours as we cleaned this house. It would have taken an hour if we didn't argue, but 3 hours we would mope around like eat the biggest eeyores, especially me. So why am I doing this? I didn't make this mess. It's not my fault. Why is he? He should be doing more. He's older than me. And my mum's biggest complaint wasn't that we didn't clean, because we did in the end. The job got done, don't get me wrong. Like, had to. It was that we did it without cheer. And she would... I want to say scream. It probably seemed like screaming to me, but it wasn't. It was probably just talking fervently with passion. She would say, you have to do it, and you have to do it cheerfully. I'm not doing this cheerfully. I'm cleaning. Nobody likes cleaning. Well, some people do now, I find out. They're very different from me, but I love those sort of people, and I invite them to my house very often. There's a couple of rags there. There's the spray. Would you like to look at my dirty house? No, I don't do that to my friends, but I wish I could. But she would want us to do it cheerfully. There is no other thing she would want. We could do a bad job. She'd want us to do it cheerfully. We could do a half job. She'd want us to do it cheerfully. Could do all sorts of other things. The wrong room, in the wrong way. As long as we did it with a heart full of cheer and with gratitude. See, I spent a lot of time with my mum this summer, because she lives in Hong Kong, and I spent the time with her, and we talked about this, and she said, I wanted to make it different from my experience growing up, which was, we cleaned because we had to. I wanted it to be fun. And I was saying, but it wasn't fun, because it was cleaning. I don't know what you could do. It just wasn't. But my mum's experience of trying to get us to be involved in maintaining and managing the house was that she wanted us to do it from our heart, with cheer and with gratitude. I never quite got that. As a child, even as an adult, I'm still learning. But that is where we come to as we read this passage in Romans. We've been talking about stewardship, and probably none of you realize, we started in July. There was a talk, and it was Jevon and did the talk, and Adrian shared to us about the vision for the church and where it's going and what we're doing with St. Peter's, our other church, which is up towards Eltham, where you'll see that there's been some action helping the groups that are part of the Leagate move in, so they've got a place to live as the Leagate gets torn down. Bridget shared 3 weeks ago stories of what it means to her stewardship, and we had a talk about what that meant here, and last week we had Tanya talking about what finances the church had, and we had Cherry sharing her experience of what stewardship means. I grew up in church, and I've heard a lot of different talks about what it means to give to a community, what it means to be part of a community and make it work. In my old church, I had real fear speaking today, because in my old church, the church I grew up in, I remember when I was a teenager, one of the older ladies not coming back to church after a stewardship talk because she felt really upset. And I know people hear different things when they hear stewardship. But hear me when I say, what I think stewardship is this. That we don't see ourselves as too good or too bad. In Romans it says, look at yourself humbly. That we give from what we have been given. Later on in the passage it talks about, if you have this gift, give it freely. And that we give what we have with purpose and with joy. What does this mean in reality? I know there's a lot of people here who give freely in all their time, not just in this church community. There are people who volunteer at Brownies, who run some of the uniform groups. There are people who do things in community groups around here. There's people whose jobs are working for charities where they give endlessly extra of themselves because they believe in the cause that the charity is for. There are people who are doing extra for individuals just in and around them. There are people giving here, and I could endlessly go on, from the resources they have to their community and the people around them all the time. So when we talk about it in church, I'm not talking about saying that stuff doesn't count. That stuff is the stuff of our hearts. That stuff is the stuff of cheerful giving, of gratitude, and I love it. It's what I think maturing in faith is about. Why do I always end up crying in this church when I preach? I do not understand. I take it that that is God speaking to me about what I'm passionate about. How do we live this life where, as my mum tried to get me to understand, the giving and the doing isn't the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is a change internally in ourselves and in the world around us. The ultimate goal is to see the kingdom come. Romans is a lot about that if you read it in its context. The kingdom is anywhere where God's reign is full. And I believe God's reign to be a place like in Revelation 21 that says there is no more pain, no more injustice, no more illness, no more sickness, no more suffering. God's reign is one of perfect peace. And that comes little by little, just like eating an elephant. Where do you start? One mouthful at a time. But that's the giving I'm talking about. The giving of yourself that changes you. that makes something new of the person that we are. And I'll end with my mum. I know that that's the lesson she was trying to teach me. That's the place that she was trying to get me to work in my family for. And Jevon's going to share a bit about what it might look like here when we cheerfully give off ourselves. But that isn't to say that you aren't doing amazing things in your community and everywhere you go. It's just so you can have an understanding of what this place is like. There are things that you don't see because they happen in small pockets with little groups of people doing them. And we just want to share that. We want to share the wonders of the people who do things in this community here.
What can I say about volunteering to follow Chris's sermon? We've heard how the Bible sets out how we're asked to behave as Christians, but as Chris said, let's dig into some practicalities here at this church. In a world that values money and wealth so highly, I think it can be tempting to let this attitude crowd into our feelings about volunteering at church. That maybe if we don't have a lot of money to offer, that somehow offering our time and skills is in some way second rate. But this is absolutely not the case. It's certainly vital that people are willing to give their cold, hard cash, as Tanya talked about last week. We need money to turn the lights on. We need money to heat the building. But that's only part of what being a church community is about. And if we don't consider what practical tasks we each might be willing to do, we may be missing out on how God wants us to grow in Him and how He wants to use us, let alone the encouragement and support we offer to others through our involvement. As Chris said, so many people in this church volunteer in so many ways. The stewardship group has been looking at a list of all the roles which we could identify, and it's actually really quite difficult, in a good way, to work out what all the roles are that everyone does, because so many, many people diligently do things without seeking thanks and praise or making a fanfare about what they do. And for certain roles, it may only be one or two other people who even know what that person does. It's been really exciting because the more we look, the more we realise how much is being done already, but it rarely, if ever, gets joined up publicly. So let me make clear that although we've been working really hard on drawing together our churches, thinking on giving and volunteering, and thinking about what gaps there may be, we recognise that we don't have a complete picture of all the volunteering that people are doing. Let me stop for a moment and, on behalf of our church community, thank each and every one of the people who volunteer in any capacity whatsoever. Your contributions are appreciated and valued, and as a church, we thank you and we thank God for what you do. But as we continue to grow, the need to become a bit more structured becomes more important as the scope of tasks increase. So, with that in mind, I think there are three main aspects to consider. Firstly, there are many roles which, if there were more people happy to be involved in them, would make coordination of rotas for things simpler. Particular need is in roles like doing sound, running Zoom, children's church, leading the prayers, helping with teas and coffees, the prayer ministry team. I could go on. In other words, the more people who are willing to be involved and be given training if necessary, the easier it becomes to ensure that we're not stretched thin. And the more people willing to help means that people need not actually be called upon that often. And then if people aren't needed that often because there are so many volunteers, maybe people will want to get involved in other areas as well. Until we have so many people volunteering that, like Bridget said in her sermon relating to money, we won't need any more volunteers because we'll have more than enough, and as a church we'll be doing everything we possibly can. and I look forward to that time. Secondly, that's the stewardship group, but also PCC and others, have been looking at areas which would really benefit from more coordinators to help manage roles for certain events, projects, and times of the year. For example, coordinating volunteers for events like Open Studio in November, or the extra activities of Christmas, to coordinating minor repairs and decorating of the building. And many of these roles are increasing in scope as we seek to be even more effective and welcoming to our immediate community. Louise, for example, is our food bank coordinator, recruiting volunteers and seeking to ensure we have enough people available to help with this vital work. And actually, we'll be hearing more about the work of the food bank in a couple of weeks as we approach Harvest Festival. And thirdly, although we've collectively spent time considering where there is a particular need for volunteers, we absolutely don't have all the answers. We think there are people sitting in this building now or on Zoom who have ideas that God is already prodding them about being involved in and getting off the ground, and which are new for this church. This church wants to work where God wants to work. That's exciting. Although we may not know exactly what new involvement there may yet be, we do know that it will fit in with the mission of our church to be Christ-focused and a place which serves the needs of this community. Broadly speaking, other than that, there are no limits. Let me give you two quick examples of these types of things that came about from members of the congregation who wanted to effect change. And with the agreement of the church leadership, got on with it. Firstly, our fair trade stall, which is available today, was set up by Gail because she believes that fair trade products go hand in hand with the Christian ethos of fairness to all, through allowing producers to make a living from their work by receiving a fair price, rather than most of the profits just going to companies and their shareholders. It was her idea. She undertook to buy produce and run it herself with the blessing of the church. However, although still managed and staffed by Gail, with help from a few other diligent volunteers, the stock is now paid for and stored by Good Shepherd, and the stall has become an integral part of our church's commitment to the wider world community. This was something Gail was so keen about that she was willing to volunteer to make it happen herself. And secondly, the eco group was set up in a similar way. A few people coalesced around the feeling that our church could be doing more to engage with the issues of climate change, and with the support of the leadership, began to grapple with what could be done in this parish. Along the way, the group secured for us bronze eco church accreditation, and has continued to evolve working alongside the PCC and church community. Coming soon, there will be bike racks. And recently, the group has won a match funding grant for improvement to the entrances to allow the internal doors to be replaced and the external ones to be rehung in order to retain heat much more effectively. The group needs to fundraise for this project since the grant is only a match funding arrangement. And so you'll be hearing more about this project in the coming weeks. So have the courage to speak up. And remember, it may well be that God is calling you to be the person to start something. And if you're new, relatively new, or have been coming here ages, my own experience has shown me that volunteering can really help in making you feel even more a part of things. After all, if you're getting stuck in by volunteering, it increases the sense of ownership you have about what happens here. And what about other benefits of volunteering? I could talk at length about the benefits to body, mind, and well-being, but there just isn't enough time. Let me simply say that I get more out of volunteering than I think the church gets out of me. I also can't overstate the mix of satisfaction and enjoyment in having the opportunities to meet and get to know others and work with them. It's been great. Also, I've been able to do things that elsewhere I wouldn't have got to do. There's lots of stuff you can have for your CV if you want it. I would recommend volunteering to any and everyone. And God loves a cheerful giver of their time. It's a win-win. And remember, if you're going to volunteer, do something which sounds interesting to you, or you've always wanted to do, or already love doing. It's certainly not about volunteering to do something that you can't stand doing, but you feel you ought to. Or feeling like you can't change your mind if you volunteer for something for a bit and then realise you hate it. The stewardship team has written a booklet about stewardship as a way to help contextualise this conversation we're having within our church's wider mission. So if you've not read it, please do have a look at it either online or take one of the copies that should be at the back. And if your appetite is whetted about volunteering, speak to Bridget, Chris, the church wardens, Sue and James, me, Tanya, Adrian, or anyone who's involved in what you'd like to get into, if you know who that person is. Please feel free to speak up and get involved. That said, we'll be covering this more in the coming weeks, so you don't have to decide now, especially if you want to do something, bunch or what, or who best to speak to. But as we approach the culmination of our current focus on thinking about stewardship, please continue to prayerfully consider how to respond. And if you're someone who's volunteered in one or multiple roles for ages, could God be prodding you to do something new instead or as well? Thank you.